Welcome to the Matt Haycock Show, a podcast about business, money, and life. Matt has been making money and making mistakes for over 20 years. And in this podcast, he shares his thoughts and stories so you can improve your business, finances, and life, whilst hopefully avoiding the mistakes he and others have made along the way. Listen in and level up.
Nobody else was doing a smoked hummus, so I felt like I'd find a niche, a space in the market, and off it went. And within 6 months of making it at home for my little boy, we were stocked nationally in Waitrose.
Hey guys, it's Matt Haycox here, and today I've got with me Julie Waddell. Julie from the Little Smoked Food Company. Now, Julie set this up and launched her Moorish range of smoked hummus products to sell in delicatessens in a local area. She won two Great Taste Stars in 2017 and went on to be named Growth Business in the UK's Mentor Me Awards and received a special commendation award for Growth in the Food and Drink Federation Awards. In 2015, she was named one of DEFRA's 50 food stars. And Moorish was named the most disruptive food brand of 2015. Having set up in a kitchen, she's grown exponentially. She's now stocked in Waitrose, Ocado, Boos, and even supplies Park and Shop, Hong Kong, and British Airways planes. Now, Julie and I actually recorded this originally 6 or 7 weeks ago, but due to technology problems, which I will put down to COVID and not my stubby little fingers, we're having to do it again. But I'm pleased to say that since then, I have actually had the pleasure of trying some of her product. So I feel a lot more contextual when we're talking today, Julie. I didn't have the hummus. I had the baba ganoush, which I can't remember where I got it from, but it was very tasty. So I'm looking forward to talking again anyway.
Hiya, nice to see you again.
Listen, Julie, I've given a bit of an introduction to yourself, but the kind of main key bit of the story I want to get across today, again, a bit because we're filming, recording this during Corona, during lockdown time, is that, this started very much as a home business for you. You created the product in your kitchen. I mean, I don't know what your aspirations were, in terms of the size of the growth when you first did it. But I guess, there's many, many people sat at home. Well, everybody's sat at home right now, trying to do something new, trying to start businesses. And your story is obviously fantastically inspirational in that respect. So just take us back to the beginning and tell us how it all started.
Well, thank you for your kind words. It doesn't always feel, aspirational as you're living it day to day, but it has gone really well, and I am pleased. So I did have quite high ambitions for it from the beginning. I've always felt quite entrepreneurial, and this was finally a chance to do the thing. I felt like this really had legs. I'd had some previous ideas that weren't quite right, not for food products or anything at all, just different business ideas. And then I hit upon this one, and I really felt like it could be great. So that was back in 2012. And my kids obviously were a lot more little back then. And I invented smoked hummus for my son, who is a really fussy eater and still provides a daily challenge on that front. But I just thought, what can I do to make healthy food taste amazing? I actually come from a catering family. I grew up in Northern Ireland, where my grandparents had a restaurant. I worked in the restaurant and learned a lot of the trade and just a love of food. And so culinary creativity is kind of my passion. And I was trying to help this little guy, my four-year-old, find food that was healthy but also delicious. And the one healthy thing he would eat was hummus. A lot of kids will eat hummus and they can dip their carrot sticks into it, and it's quite a good thing. But I wanted him to really like it and eat loads of it. And he liked smoked food, so smoked cheese, smoked fish, that kind of thing. And I thought, I wonder if I used that smoky flavour and put it into hummus, could that be nice, delicious, help him to eat more of something that was good for him? So I smoked some chickpeas. It hadn't been done before that I could see, so I had to sort of make up a recipe for it myself. I smoked some chickpeas, made it into hummus. It was absolutely lovely. But at the same time, I used to work on the food programme on BBC Radio 4 as a journalist. And I was doing some research into hummus. It just so happened, coincidentally, and I discovered that the hummus market in the UK is absolutely massive. So back then in 2012, the market was valued at around 60 million, and it's a lot more now.
Just hummus, not like hummus not, variants.
No, so if you take into account dips like salsa and baba ganoush and you know, the other sort of dippy things, tzatziki, the market's about 185 million. So it's absolutely huge. Absolutely huge, but nothing innovative had been done in the hummus space. It was all own label stuff in supermarkets. So I thought, well, here's a huge market that's lacking in innovation, and I've just invented something quite exciting that is super delicious. And I wonder if I could make it into a thing. And it hadn't been done before, which was another key to the success. Nobody else was doing a smoked hummus. So I felt like I'd find you know, a niche, a space in the market, and off it went. And within 6 months of making it at home for my little boy, we were stocked nationally in Waitrose. So it really was a very quick sort of upscale and a fast start, but it's been good ever since then.
And tell me about that process of getting stocked in Waitrose. I mean, obviously, you know, I hear well, a lot of business, you know, people come to me, you know, with let's say food related products, you know, that they're looking for investment in, and you, and there's a lot of people, you know, just in general that I speak to who have products, you know, that they would like to get stocked in, you know, whether that's supermarkets or just major national retail chains, yeah. And it seems, you know, let's say probably the most difficult part of that business, you know, getting that stocking, getting that distribution, and a real black art of I guess how you get your foot through the door in the first place. I mean, to do it in 6 months is you know, sounds incredible. What was the process like, and what tips and advice have you got for people out there with products that they would like to get stocked?
Well, you're right. There are a lot of people, and more all the time, who come up with ideas for food products, and who see, and Waitrose is a sort of dream place to get into, because they stock premium things, so, you know, new artisan things, but they've obviously got some significant distribution, as you say. 6 months, I now know, was very unusual. So what happened was I was supplying a local deli's in Birmingham, where we lived at the time, and I live in Devon. But back then, that's where we were. And I had to find a factory to make the hummus in. I used to make it myself because I couldn't. There's laws around what you can sell from a home kitchen, and your home kitchen has to have certain things about it that make it environmental health friendly, and mine wasn't you know, suitable for a manufacturing premises, so I had to find a factory. I found one that would let me stand in the factory and make the product myself, and then I would take it out to these local delis and sell it. And once I started to get the feedback from people who didn't know me, not the people that are coming to my house and going, that's lovely, because they might just say that. But people were repeat purchasing in these local delis, and that gave me real confidence that actually it was a good enough product in and of itself that people would buy it. So I approached Waitrose, and it must have been the right thing at the right time, because I actually got an email the next day. I hadn't said what was different about the hummus. I just said, I've invented a new hummus. And I got an email the next day saying, we'd like you to come in. So I went in, and then I revealed that it was smoked hummus. And a couple of weeks later, I got the call saying, we'd like to take your product. And it literally was that quick. I think a few things helped. One was the repeat purchase data from the delis, and by then I was also in places like Whole Foods and Planet Organic, and this is a very well-trodden path to supply these people. But also the uniqueness, hummus was a massively, you know, ripe for innovation market. There was a whole lot of things that came together. The one thing I would say is it's all about the product quality, so it has to be delicious. Anybody can buy anything once, but that repeat purchase is what you're really looking for. And if you can demonstrate that to the retail buyer, then you've got to have your commercials right. So we then had to quickly find a factory and work out all the pricing and sort of reverse engineer everything to be able to launch so quickly, because I couldn't make that amount of volume on my own in this factory in Birmingham. So we found a new factory in London and just sort of had to make all the pieces fit to make it happen.
Well, that was going to be my next question, really, insofar as, you know, how ready were you? You know, what I mean, once they said, you know, yes, we'd like to stock you, I mean, you know, did you have a lot to get done around that? And I guess in a way that, you know, probably leads me on to think, was the process in the market different back then to how it is now, insofar as, you know, will they really work with you and give you a chance if the only thing you have rights to food, you know, I mean, I guess from my my layman's perspective, I would imagine that they, you know, these big organisations don't have time to mess around, and they kind of want, as well as the food being right, you know, they need the packaging right, they need the commercials right, they need to know that you can distribute the right quantity to them on time. I mean, were you ready for that, or did they really help you then?
We weren't massively ready. It was a huge amount to do in a very short space of time. The factory were great because they already, you know, did bulk manufacture, and they could advise on the technical side of the sleeve. So you have to have your back of pack technically, legally correct. So your ingredients, your nutritionals, all of that stuff, your barcode. They already worked with the distributor that we went into Waitrose with. So that supply chain, we could slipstream into something that the factory already had. So really working with a factory that was a specialist hummus factory that knew what they were doing on the production and distribution side, which enabled me to do the sales, marketing, branding, execution, work out the commercials, all of that stuff. It was a real sort of labor of love between us. And then obviously Waitrose gave us their support in terms of helping us to know what we had to know to get on the shelves. There is, it probably is more difficult now. It's harder to break through. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of food and drink brands, you know, startups that are trying to get in and get the attention of the buyer. So in retail, you're trying to talk to the buyer. They are God. They are the person that will ask you to come in and have a meeting and then decide whether or not to list your products. There's something now, so we supply Sainsbury's, they're our main major retail customer. And there's something there now called Future Brands, the Future Brand Scheme. And they have a find and they have a grow element, and they will go out and look for small food and drink brands that they feel would bring distinctiveness to Sainsbury's, because that's something that Sainsbury's prides itself on, having products that you can't find in their other major competitors. And then they have a grow arm, which is where we were until recently, and we've sort of passed through, we've graduated through that now just to be a normal supplier to Sainsbury's. But they're really, really supportive in terms of helping small artisan businesses get on the shelves. And actually, you made me think when you said the hardest bit is getting into retail. It is super hard, but actually the hardest bit is staying in. Once you're in, that is not the end of the story, because there are no contracts in this industry. So effectively, if the product sells, you stay. And if it doesn't, or something better comes along, you're gone. So you have to work really, really hard to stay with that retailer and keep your business.
You're beating me to all my questions.
Oh, sorry.
that's what I was actually going to say. Insofar as, have you got, there's literally no security of future orders for you. You're only as good as yesterday's delivery.
Correct. Absolutely. It's a really tough industry, but equally it's very exciting. And, you know, low barrier to entry. If you have a great product and get all those other bits and pieces right, anyone can launch a food and drink business, anyone who's got the right product and does the right thing. So I see it as a double-edged sword. It's easy-ish to get into the industry. It's not so easy to stay in and do well.
And how competitive, if that's the right word, or restrictive are the supermarkets with each other? Insofar as, you know, do Sainsbury's have no issue whatsoever with the fact you're in Waitrose or Tesco's or anywhere else you may want to be, or do they try and monopolise in any way?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and it is, yeah, it's a thing. So because we were already in Waitrose, then they couldn't ask us to come out. And actually it's quite nice for Sainsbury's to know that the products are working in premium, smaller major multiple retail, which is how they would see Waitrose. Then there was a conversation around exclusivity, so not supplying some of their other competitors for a particular length of time, and each supplier agrees what they're willing to do and not do. And some say, no, if you want my products, I'm not gonna give you exclusivity, you can take it or leave it. And that's a brave stance. So we did give a little bit of exclusivity, but again, that's past now. So, you know, you have to be very mindful that the retailer could give the business they're giving to you to a number of other people. And I think it's about respecting what will work for them, and that distinction certainly is very important to Sainsbury's, but also allowing your business to grow and not being strangled. And it's a real balance, and it does have to be carefully played.
And as we said at the beginning of this, you know, to contextualise things, we're recording this on the 26th of May, you know, probably eight to nine weeks into lockdown and, you know, certainly kind of, you know, 3 months plus into Corona. I remember when we spoke originally, you know, we were talking about distributed workforces and, you know, working with freelance staff, contract staff, etc. And I was talking to you about, you know, how the lockdown had affected you. And from memory, you've always worked from, I think you've worked from home, haven't you? And always had a distributed workforce of people that you've yeah. pulled in as and when necessary. I mean, now we're even further into this than when we first spoke. I mean, have you had any changes to your business, or has things just been great because everyone's been sat at home with hummus and toilet paper?
Well, I think I keep saying to people, you know, if you're not in loo roll, food is a good business to be in at the moment. I'm very mindful of not being either complacent or arrogant. It just so happens to be good fortune that food is something that is doing well in this situation. Our business hasn't changed massively. We did look at some pivoting pieces of work, but actually they were more contingency should anything have gone wrong. Some brands did not do so well in this space. There was a lot of, at the very beginning when the crisis hit and there was huge pressure on the distribution centres into supermarkets, and they had to focus on their core ranges. So sausages, toilet roll and pasta, tinned tomatoes, all of those things really were taking priority. Luckily, hummus didn't seem to be affected, and we've come out the other side of that initial crisis, certainly. And so far, so good. So no, we continue to operate a super lean team. And just carry on making sure we keep our head down and do the best that we can.
So what does the future hold? Any more products? What are we going to see?
Yeah, new products. So something super exciting launching in September in Sainsbury's that I've just been talking to our Sainsbury's buyer about this week. Totally new and unique. I can't say what it is, but watch this space. It will be in the hummus fixture. And then we're working on things that sort of work in parallel with dips, but to grow the brand a little bit more, sort of to extend the width of the brand. So we're looking at some sort of side salad-y products and things like that. So yeah, always working on something else, something new.
Tell me, how do you work on your own marketing, or do the retailers kind of take care of a lot of that for you, or are you expected and do you want to do generic brand marketing for yourself, you know, to help yourself in these retail outlets?
So we, as a small brand, don't have TV advertising budgets and that kind of thing, so we have to be super smart about how we tell people about the brand and get that penetration. So we do a reasonable amount of retailer marketing. So that would include things like price promotions. So we do four of those a year just to introduce. That still is, we analyze the data after we run a promo. That introduces people to the brand every time. People like to try things and buy things on offer, but then a certain amount of them stay with us, which is great because quite often when people try it, they buy it. Going forwards into the future, so that's great. We do things like PR, we work with influencers on social media. Obviously the vegan, the interest in vegan consumerism is huge, so we work with quite a few influencers on that side of things. And then in terms of brand marketing, we have an agency that we use in London, and I have my own marketing manager who works on the Moorish brand. And we're always looking at, you know, where we can talk to people and how we can do things, but within a limited budget, because obviously the amount of margin you make on a pot of hummus is in the pennies, not the pounds or the millions of pounds. So it all has to be just has to be smart.
And do you do any direct to consumer sales at the moment anyway, or will that feature at any point in the future, or are you always going to do it through retail outlets?
Always through retail, and then we do a bit in travel, although our airline business dropped off a cliff a few months ago, but luckily that was a small part of it. So no, retail is our thing. To do a chilled food product direct to consumer is the cost modelling doesn't work because the cost of sending something through the chill chain, so chill deliveries to people, would be really, really expensive. It's something we were looking at when we weren't sure, you know, this whole new retail landscape when coronavirus hit and all of the crisis management. We were looking at it, and it might be something we do, but really our market is retail.
Perfect. Well, Julie, thanks a lot for being here again. I've just remembered what one of the things I said to you when we spoke last time was, I asked you when we first came on if you'd seen the movie Don't Mess with the Zohan, where it was all about hummus, and I said you'll have to watch it during lockdown.
It sounds like
you've forgotten it. But listen, just obviously for everybody listening, just give yourself one more shout out of where they can find the product, how they can contact you.
Thanks, Max. Matt, the product is in Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Ocado, Booths, at Whole Foods and Planet Organic. Thank you very much. Look out for Moorish.
and we can get you on Insta, can we?
Yeah, I'm on Insta. I'm Moorish Jules, and we have Moorish at Moorish Hummus is the handle. So we're all over there.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Julie, thanks again for being here, and thanks again for letting me take twice as much of your time as we're supposed to do.
Cheers,
I'll see
Matt.
You soon. Bye.
Look after yourself. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Matt Haycock Show. For more Matt, check out his YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Matt Haycock. Or go stalk him on Instagram and Twitter, The Matt Haycock. And we'll see you soon.